Blog Talk Radio.
VOU! I got a new phrase for you. Get up.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Just go.
This is for all the crazy phrases right here.
Thank you all for tuning in to High Praise Cathedral, where Bishop Clarence Hatton and Prophetess Joyce Hatton, our pastors, we're here in Eastern Michigan today, and we just want to say God bless to all of you that are listening in right now from around the world. We just want to say God bless you right now. We're going to take you into the sanctuary where you will hear Bishop Clarence Hatton right now. You will hear great praise and worship and also a powerful word from the Lord. We just want to say God bless you, enjoy, and be blessed.
He's a different face, and he can drop it in. I'm going to say, you ain't on, boy. Let me take that off all of our deals. You can throw our children. You can grow. You can balance. You can live. All of our children. The deepness is there. Yeah, but let's see how the deepness is standing to your feet right now.
God is blessing us, y'all. Somebody asked you how your church doing, and say, God's blessing us. Now, on the back it says there, if you just do what God gave me to tell you to do, it won't be long. We really would have to have more than one service on Sunday. It says it takes teamwork to make the dream work. God gave me a formula for us. He says one of you will go and win 12, and the 12 will win 144. And 144 times 12 would be 1,728 people. If all of us get this and do that, we can do that before the year is out. It's very simple. Ask somebody next to you, say, do you have a Holy Ghost influence? That's what it takes us, Holy Ghost influence. I believe I got enough Holy Ghost, I can win 12 folk right quick. Amen. They ain't got to come. They ain't got to join. Just come. Because we know what's going to happen when they come. Hey. That's a Wesley Van Johnson when he said that. He said, we just swear so there. All of us will walk out and say, hey. I got my 12. You got your 12? Yeah. And each one we baptize them will be 12. I'm thankful for the joy that's yet on our faces of beholding you there after the loss of that brother. I'm just thankful for that. Just a saintly girl. And I found out the secret name of one of them. Will Shorty Smooth please stand? But she's in the world, they call her Shorty Smooth. I love Shorty, so she's all right. Amen. They got something. They got so many beautiful testimonies. Been through heart surgery and still here with us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Those girls have got that testimony too. They served, stand up, sir. He was here the other day. Y'all know we prayed for him. They took his heart out of him. They were in his hands. They were in his hands. They were in his hands. And then he was in his hands. And then he was in his hands. And then he was in his hands. When you know when you've done the right thing. See, but Terry and his wife, they got to know they did the right thing to come out here because the devil got mad. You do something, the devil will get mad, you ain't doing the right thing. This son was in the hospital coming out for heart surgery. The other son had to be stricken with his heart. I really proud of both of them. By the time he got to the hospital, he said, ain't nothing wrong, go back. All right, they're not wrong. This is all right. But nobody is. I got some good news, though. Sister Miranda Pearson, Brother Moses' daughter. Stand up, Miranda. Sister Miranda has been accepted in Talladega College. In Talladega, Alabama. And she was so excited she met me at the door. She said, Bishop, this is my senior year in high school. I said, good, good, what you going to do? She said, I'm going to college. I said, okay, what you going to study? She said, pre-law and medical. Pre-law and medical. I said, that's good, girl. Brother Moses will have to ride with me after that. I said, you're my little better than your talent. She said, you got it. Moses said, there it is. This is what I says. Talladega College, Alabama, congratulations. Dear Miranda Pearson, it is with great pleasure that I welcome you as Talladega College Provisional admits you to the class of 2017. After viewing 5,000 applications, over 5,000 prospective students, you have been selected to join the Talladega College. 2013. Upon receipt of your final official high school transcript showing graduation and requirements minimum, grade point average needed for admission, your admission status will be upgraded to regular admission. Let us give her all the directions on how she go about doing it. But let's give her a round of applause. Baby. That's Africa, Australia, wherever, Netherlands, wherever you are, get this on the paper and write down our mailing address. Send it to High Place Cathedral of Faith at 4010 Moore Street, Inkster, Michigan. That's I-N-K-S-T-E-R, Michigan. Zip code 48141. Anybody seated in our audience would like to help us take this message around the world. Take down the address again one more time. High Praise Cathedral of Faith, 4010 Moore Street, that's M-O-O-R-E, Inkster, Michigan, 48141. The Lord bless you for assisting us in the work that we're doing here in the suburbs of the city of Detroit, Michigan. Speaking of Detroit, Michigan, coming to us on November 28th and 29th, Dr. Kim Shehane Cho, who is the first lady of the largest church in the world, Full Gospel Church in Seoul, Korea. We'll be celebrating and praying 2 days here in the city of Detroit. Those of you listening from around the world, even those of you in Seoul, Korea, join us 28th and 29th to pray for revival in the city of Detroit, economically, socially, and spiritually. Let's pray till God shake the world. Amen. We thank all of you here in this service, come up and get in your seat. We thank to those of you who can get here by plane, train, get started now, so you can make it here by the 28th. All right, let us get our offerings and our tithing in our hands. We're going to do something a little different today, same time. We're going to get your tithing in your right hand and your offering in your left hand. And everybody, line up. Let's do this. We're going to make it one time. And everybody going to do what's right before the Lord. We've trained you well enough now. We're going to ruin everybody. Line up and continue to line up around the whole church. Let's line up everybody. Get a seat in your hand. Those of you that get a seat in your hand. You have a mailing address. Send that seat to our place. Praise the Lord. Amen. And they're lining up around the sanctuary. They're lining up our knuckles. Everybody comes to bless the Lord with their substance. Bless them with the seed of thanksgiving. Bless them with the tithe because God ordered you. And watch God bless you. Get your way out of here, all right? Get out of here. This one's a tithe. And it especially says offering here. All right, so you should bring it an offering, bring it and put it where it's an offering. Put the tithe. Brother Orr is going to be holding the offering, and the tithe reception is going to be here. All right, let's get started. I'm
I'm
Because you sow the seed of tithe and offering, you can expect the windows of heaven, thus says the Lord, to open unto you and pour you out blessings, shall not be room enough to receive. Now, it's time for the word. I had a message that I wanted to preach today, but y'all know I'm open to the move of God. Traditionally, after a pastor has been celebrated anniversary, his voice, if I leave the state, you know, I've been given a trip to Taiwan and to Seoul, Korea, and even to China. And usually the pastor likes to preach the message before he leaves. But I want to hear from the Lord, right? So the phone rang. The phone rang. And one of my dear friends is a bishop. Said, listen, the Lord led me to call you out of all the churches in Detroit. He led me to call you and to have you think in terms of receiving a speaker for the day. First of all, I thought traditionally, I can't do that right now because I'm going out of country and I need to leave word. But the Lord says, it doesn't matter who it comes from, as long as it's a rich word. And he and I talked, and I told him, I said, now, I'm always open for the move of God. I said, but there have been pastors that have called me and said the same thing, and it didn't work out so good. I'll be very frank with people. It didn't work out good. Someone can preach real good, you had a life worth nothing. Found out about it, I said, oh, Lord, they can never come back here again. And I told him that, I said, now, I'm taking you on his word, but I want your life to come up to your word. He said, Bishop, I have a yearning for the same thing. I just don't understand these preachers just comfortable living raggedy lives and want to preach to people. So I let him know that we're having him based on his testimony and the recommendation. Now, God will second the motion when you hear him preach. I want you to receive this man of God. We're so glad for Sister Tanya being back with us. We're going to hold her in prayer because she's already slated for surgery. She's already had one, but she's going back again. And we told Tanya, look, Tanya, we need you because you're the one who put us around the world. And we need her to train us so we can do this while she's convalescing. I said, train me. I'll do it. I can't get nobody to do it. Train me. Train me and Sister Hattie. Want to preach and want to put us around the world. One way or another. We ready, y'all. I think Russia just signed in. Bishop Hattie learned how to do that. I mean, somebody's computer savvy, understand how to connect to Sandra. If you'd like to be trained to do that, see me so she can train you while she's coming us and we'll still be on the radio. Why don't you stand to your feet at this time? The man of God who comes to us today with the word is Elder Perry from, was it Black Smith? Black in Columbia? I gotta get the right. This is the suburbs of Columbus, Ohio. Let's have together the team of a Perry at this time. Come on, take it up. Take it up. Take it up. You got it. You got it.
Pray the Lord in Jesus' name. Pray the Lord in Jesus' name. He is worthy to be praised. Amen. We want to be on the highest praise. If this is high praise, let's do the highest praise right now.
Hold on. We're gonna, I know this happened. We're going to do it a little bit better. Watch this. I'm off the highest praise. And so I'm not going to come correcting nothing. I'm just going to, I want a paradigm shift. Now, we're people of the name, right? Proverbs 18 and 10 said, his name is a strong tower. The righteous shall run into it, and they are safe, right? Psalms 8 and 9 said, how excellent is thy name. Jeremiah 10 and 6 says, for thou art great, and his name is great. Matthew 6 and 9 said, hallowed be thy name. Luke 24:47 said, go and teach remission of repentance in his name. Mark 16 and 17 says, as many as believe in his name, they shall cast out devils. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in his name. Wow, Acts 4:12 said, there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we might be saved. That's why in Acts 2:38 he's been baptized in his name. That's why Philippians 2:10-11 says, he has been given a name above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to the glory of God the Father. So that's why, and not Nehemiah 9:5, we want to obey Nehemiah 9:5. It says, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever.
One thing that I was taught by John and James looked at, give them the word of God, and just in case your sermon's no good, they can't leave there and say they didn't get the word. So I'm going to give you the word. We're looking at Philippians 3:21. We'll look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. We'll look at Job 14:14. And we'll also look at Zechariah chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, and I'll repeat those again. We'll look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. We'll look at 2 Corinthians 3:18, Job chapter 14, verse 14, and Zechariah chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Philippians 3:21, you have it? Amen. You want to have it? Who should change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? And the key word is change. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And the key word is change. Job chapter 14, verse 14, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change come. And the key word is change. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, it said, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel, and spake and answered all those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And he said unto him, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I clothe thee with change of raiment. And the key word is change. And we'll use the latter text in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 3 through 4 to be our golden text. And we will preach unto you today, will somebody help me change my clothes? You may be seated. Will somebody help me change my clothes? We all can change. I don't care how high up you are and how low you are. We all need to change. Until we get to that place, there's going to be some changing going on. Now, change is not always easy. Change is difficult. Sometimes change just hurts, Bishop. Change is not a beautiful experience going through it, but after it's finished, that's when you see the beautiful work that has been wrought in your life. And it's different stages of change, too. Now, some in here today might need to be changed from a ain't to a saint. Some need to be changed in their walk of salvation to becoming more sanctified. But then all of us that are sanctified are looking for that day where we ultimately change and meet the Lord in there. Now, change while you're on this earth, you're going to continuously go through change. This is a continuous action. Now, this word change, we get in Philippians 3:21, it comes from a word in the Greek text called metamorphoa. It's where we get the English word metamorphosis. This is what the scientists call when they saw an ugly, nasty caterpillar get changed into a beautiful, majestic butterfly. All right. And this is the concept of what Paul is discussing right here, a change. The same word is also rendered as transformed in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, when it talks about be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transform and change is the same word. But God wants us to change, be transformed, be renewed, and change is not easy. I was talking to my wife this morning about helping me change my clothes because my birthday was yesterday, and so he gave me a gift that was a little bit too small. I used to wear a large, but now I'm in 2X, and so I put on a large to make them feel good, to say, I think I can wear it. But when it was time to take it off, I said, baby, could you help me change my clothes? Because I'm not what I used to be, physically.
All right.
I feel a lot better spiritually. And I had to let it change. And I realized that when I was looking at Zechariah, it was someone helping him change his clothes. Now, this was called an angel. But he stood there with filthy garments on. And he stood before the angel. Now, when he stood there, the angel spake and answered, saying unto all of them that stood before him, and said, take away thy filthy garments. He told them to take away his garments. He didn't change it himself. He had not changed it. He had not. And then he said to them, behold, I have caught an iniquity to pass from thee, and I have changed thee with change of raiment. This is the first thing that you come into when you come to meet the Lord and receive him into your life. You get baptized in his name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes. That's a change of clothing right there.
Yes.
Because your garment was nasty and filthy, and I have to go through a row of what all of us had to deal with before we came under the Lord. But we know what kind of clothes we were wearing. We know our clothes were filthy, and we stood before the Lord, and he gave us people that can help us change our clothes. We used to get in the habit of trying to get in the fish before we caught it, and we used to get in the habit of trying to grab people and not knowing that they came in the best way they knew how to come in here. But they don't need us to say you need to get your stuff together. They just need a little help for their clothes being changed. How did we know all our people in Eastern Michigan that they came in the high praise and they got robbed instead of judged? They got prayed for with a P-R-A-Y instead of a P-R-E-Y. And nothing was ever said to God has nothing for you in your life. And it's more than what you're living now. And help me change your clothes a little bit just to give you a new raise on you. And when I look at John 11 is exactly what the Lord was giving me about we helping people change our clothes. Because Lazarus was dead in the grave, four days, dead in the grave. And the time was when Jesus came to him, Jesus, all he did was call his name Lazarus. Lazarus, the history of Lazarus, said he was in a sepulcher on a grave that was 13 steps down, and he was wrapped up on head to toe in the grave clothes. But what happened was when he heard Jesus call his name, he raised up. He didn't have to call him by his last name, he had to call him by his nickname. He just called him Lazarus, and in the Jewish study, it was a common name, so you might have up to 1,000 people in the grave that had the same name Lazarus. But when Jesus speaks to you, they might call you by your last name. My name is James, and I'm so honored, Jesus, for when he spoke to me, no other James on the hill that comes to the church. He knew the change and he was born because God doesn't speak to your life, he speaks to your spirit. And when he saw the spirit of Lazarus got up, but he was still bound in his grave clothes. I don't know how he got up 13 steps, right on head to toe, but I knew he had a struggle to give up his prayer. And when he finally got up in prayer, Jesus Will you help me change my clothes? See, that's why in Genesis chapter 5 and 24, it says, he not walk with God, prophet, and he was not. Now, we're not going to dispute about whether he was actually rapture or all that, but what it is, when you begin to walk with God, you are not. Not what? I'm not what I used to be. I might not be what I need to be, might not be who I need to be, but I'm definitely not what I used to be. Because I've changed partners, and God is helping me change my soul every step I take. And I'm walking with God, because that's the way I draw nigh to him, he draws nigh to me. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, they all talk about how all ye that are buried and heavy laden, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, his yoke was the kind of yoke, and not this kind of yoke today. Today's yoke is a single neck yoke. That's how you know that they were going to live with a two-neck yoke. And there were two titles within the yoke. So that means one was a little bit stronger than the other. And the other, the strong one, with the weak one followed. Because it was a two-neck yoke. And so what happened is when you were zoned out of his hand, you didn't have enough. He was taking you wherever he wanted to take you. And took you to the ground, took you into all kinds of matters. Took you into sin, took you into fornication, adultery, took you into all kinds of stuff. And you went there and I asked you for peace of it because you had your other choice in a matter because there's something on inside of you that the person you choked up with appeased the love of your life. But part of your soul was the way that he's going to settle, and then he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you my yoke. You still want to be in the yoke, but you're on the yoke of me. And when I lead you on the righteousness, you are on the righteousness. When I lead you on the holiness, you are on the holiness. When I lead you on to the peace of God, that part of the battle, you are on to the peace of God. When I lead you on the you are going right there because you are taking my soul upon you. You are going to leave. And everything that I have will change you.
Oh, man.
What a change.
What a change.
What a change. You'll be not.
You won't be like the same.
You understand? Now, if we look at 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we are all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Now I'm looking at the glass right now, and I can see a facade of my image. I can see myself, but it might not be as clear as a mirror would be, right? This is what they did and what they used back then. They didn't have mirrors. They used glass as their mirrors. And but the writer said that we'd be holding in the glass, we're looking in the glass or that mirror, and we're gazing it at the glory of God. The glory of God. So this glory of God that you're looking at really is you, but it's reflecting God's glory. Because this is a change. When you used to look in the mirror, it looked so good. You know it didn't. You thought it was, let me check that around. You probably thought you was looking good. You probably thought you had it going on. You know you did. You probably thought you had on a fresh fit, had your hair done, and you was looking good. Until Jesus came along. He has a way of making the most powerful man, like Isaiah said, oh, I'm a man of unclean lips. Have a powerful man like Paul and Romans 7, the old rich man that I am. Now, these are powerful people of God, but being in the presence of God, you can't help but to feel a little dirty. In your best clean state, so you feel a little dirty, unless you're a little puffed up. And I give you some of the flesh of bubble real quick. Galatians 6:3. If any man see himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Okay, we'll move past that point then. And so, we're looking in this glass and beholding the glory of the Lord, and I change it to that same image, change, metamorphosize, into that same image, but you didn't get to that image overnight. What they were looking at is a mirror. And see, that's why you need the Word of God. Because the Word of God in James 1:5 is a mirror. And you'll put it right up there, and when you think you look good, you'll be reading and be saying, oh my goodness, I look hideous. I look all disgusting. But the problem is, you keep on looking and reading, and it's not changing your image. It's not making you look a little better than what you used to look. And you don't have to go in there and get your doctor done. You don't have to go in there with Dr. Kirsten. He's just going to look at all because God started changing you. And in order for you to see the reflection of God in the mirror and look at it, he does you like a Christmas. He puts you a piece of mind. No form, no shape. He takes you through the process of seeing you in the body. And bring it out of the pain of the water. Stick it in the water, look at it, still got to go through the fire. Because change is not easy. Change works. It's a change heart. And it's a hurt, it's not a bad thing. It's not what they're waiting, it's what they're making, baby. But so what happens when they put you in the water again, bring you up, I'll do you again. Then you know, look at it. The Lord continues to repeat this process. Why? Because he's not going to walk the process until he sees the right shape and until he can look at it and see the reflection of himself in the very clear way he's been modeling, bringing it higher, modeling, bringing it higher, modeling, and that's why you have to obey the walk of God and run by the room and say, my own soul, we glory in tribulation, but tribulation will be patience, and patience, experience, and experience. Oh, but this is why he's going to say for his love, and not to let him say, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect and weakness. Rather, I will have glory in my body, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, and my father will rise, and I'll be on the way out from glory, and I'll be on the way out from glory, I'll change him. He might have to say, I'm not, he might have to say, oh,
point in time, will I wait till my change? You know what? There's a couple other verses. In the American Standard Version, in Job 14:14, it said, I will wait all the days of my warfare till my release comes. In the new English translation, it said, I will wait for all my hard service till my release comes. Boy, I'm going to wait for a release. A release through all this hard pain and all this struggle, all this hurt and all this stuff. I just want to change. I go through so much sometimes, but I'm determined to make it to be with the Lord. And so if it hurts, I'm going to go through it because I just want some help to change these clothes. These clothes are thick and clean right now. What you see is what you got. I'm not going to go bad on the outside, but one day my change is going to come. And he said, he asked that question, John 14, 14, but it says Jesus, and after the question in John 11, 25, he said, he said to him, I am the resurrection and the life. That if he that believeth on me, that he were dead, yet shall he live. That's in your answer, John 14, 14, John 11, 25. Now, I got to answer that Jesus want to change you better than you ever see any kind of change. This is why I'm going to change for you. First one is, you need to be not to go what we shall be, and we know that we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. Why? Because one day, you know my name, Paul, but I'll be inside. The glory is going to be on the outside, and the flesh is going to remain, and go back to the earth, and you're on the inside. I'm going to see the greatest change that I ever going to see, and I'm going to be walking the streets of glory. I'm going to be in that city where the people are saying, it's going to be the Lord of Jesus. The name of the city is going to be that great Jesus himself. The right hand to the grave is going to be Jesus. The power of the city is going to be the witnesses of Jesus. The suburbs of the city are going to be the employment of Jesus. The duration of the city is going to be eternity of Jesus. Because we are going to be changed.
We're going to be changed. I can't go through all of it. There's going to be so much changes. These changes are happening to you right now as we speak. That's why I said we will change from glory to glory. All right, so we're going to be changed. Change. The Bible lists almost an inexhaustible amount of changes that go through your life right now. And I'm going to say some of these changes because it's too much to teach about it and preach about it right now. So I'm going to list some of the changes, and then I'll be through. But look, in Romans 5 and 1, you get justification, a change of status. 1 John 2 and 2, you get propitiation, a change of relationship. Hebrews 2:11, you get sanctification, a change in conduct. 2 Corinthians 5:19, you get reconciliation, a change in victims, a change in your relationship. And 2 Corinthians 5:21, you get substitution, a change in victims. And John 8:32, you get truth, a change in your reality. John 10:10, you get life, a change in your existence. And Titus 2:4, you get grace, a change in favor. And Ephesians 2:4, you get mercy, a change in heart. And Hebrews 11:1, you get faith, a change in your confidence. And Romans 4:18, you get hope, a change in your desire. And Romans 7:7, you get joy, a change in your emotion. And 1 John 4:8, you get love, a change in your affection. And 1 Peter 5:5, you get humility, a change in your spirit. And Matthew 18:3, you get conversion, a change in direction. And Luke 24:37, you get repentance, a change in your mind. And Acts 2:38, you get remission, a change in your senses. And Hebrews 12:14, you get holiness, a change in your lifestyle. Ephesians 5:26, you get washing, a change in your morals. And 3 John 2, you get healing, a change in your health. And Titus 3:5, you get regeneration, a change in your nature. And 4 John 3:2, you get function, a change in your family. Galatians 4:5, you get adoption, a change in your family. And 2 Timothy 3:16, you get inspiration, a change in your knowledge. And Ephesians 1:17, you get revelation, a change in your knowing. And Acts 1:8, you get power, a change in your authority. And John 5:29, you get resurrection, a change in your substance. And Galatians 2:20, you get crucifixion, a change in your death. Acts 20:28, you get power, a change in your substance. Romans 8:18, you get mortification, a change in your lifestyle. Oh my God. Romans 12:15, you get transformation, a change in your righteousness. And Romans 8:13, you get glorification, a change in your wrath. And Philippians 4:7, you get peace, a change in your tranquility. Colossians 3:12, you get meekness, a change in your disposition. 1 Timothy 2:6, you get wisdom, a change in your system. Oh, God, hallelujah. We're talking about change. And I want to make sure that you get predestination. And change. And I wanted to talk with you. You get dressed up and change. And then the word, the gospel you're going to be, you get more words and change your attitude. And I got you out of my freedom and fix you get driven and change your virtue. My favorite letter out of Revelation 21:22, you get destiny, a change in your heart, a change in your knowing, a change in your eternity, a change forever and ever and ever and ever. The God is changing now. Ha, ha, ha.
another day. Don't stand up if you want to change your clothes. We shall be changed. Change. I ain't saying it. But lift your hands because we want change. Come on. If you not know, you know it. The lifting of your hand, change your mind, change your heart, a change of spirit. Because reading it in the Word of God, where let's give God a hand for what He can do for that one. The first man of the earthly, the second of the man, the Lord of heaven. And as the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And it is heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we mourn the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And if you ask me, if I would just give the conclusion of the matter, I would just simply say, we bore on the image of the earthly too long.
Yeah. All right. All right. All right.
We've done that a little bit too long.
Yeah.
It's time for a change.
Yeah.
Those that are excited about the transformation and you believe that God has ordained this place for the changing of your clothes. Because I don't know about you, but I wouldn't change my clothes just anywhere. You're talking about pulling off and then putting on. I wouldn't just want anybody helping me with it. I want to make sure that the person that was helping me change my clothes would respect what God was doing in me. Born the image of the earthly too long. People of God, we've done that too long. You're looking like he talked about when he got up. He said the images, and he talked about looking into the image and looking and seeing who you really are. I'm not worried. You need to touch somebody. I'm not worried about you. I gotta check myself. This is checking myself out. Make sure I get on the right stuff. Yeah, the wrong thing, the wrong day, the wrong time, you'll get really, really sick. Get really messed up. Evangelist Tanya was talking about, she says, I have to be careful. I'm not sure exactly what I'm supposed to wear. She said, but the doctor says I'm real sick with what I've been wearing and the way I've changed and the atmosphere in which I've been. She said, I make sure I put on the right thing. Anybody want to put on and change your clothes today? God has given you a place, a time, and He's talked completely about the subject. So, transformation is in the house. Anybody need it? Come. This is your altar time. This is your altar time. Anybody want to come? Anybody want to come with somebody to make you sure you know what's going on? We don't want you to get mixed up. Don't want you to make you think because you got on a certain kind of top, a certain kind of pants. That's the kind of change that's going to take place in here. This thing has to happen. We're about that outside in. After a while, we got to deal with it. So when the transformation takes place, you're sure. Just like bearing the image of the earth. Too long. Somebody else ought to come. You ought to have been rushing. It's a rush job today. God's doing a rush job on you. Told you for transformation to take place. Something supernatural. It's a prophet.
and saying, I'm still coming over, I got to get help. I got to get help. Come on, and she does it. Deal with it like you want to deal with it, but if you don't deal with it like y'all want to work with things, you won't get tore up. Sound like to me, God, but it's something you did. We didn't even. So you put on the right thing today. Can I see other people that need to be resting? I'm waiting on you. I'm begging on you. It's begging on you. Thank you for change. You're doing something from the inside out. That's what I'm telling you, God dropped this thing on you that he's promised today. I don't know what you're doing here. It's like, boom. The transformation of all of these things. Check what you need. What you need, girl. I'm going to help you. brought you across the world. We don't know how, but we just believe you. Lord, that I've been waiting on you just to believe you. That's what you live here. When God gives the word, all you got to do is believe.
Thank you for those that Thursday. we're going to need you. We have, if somebody read the largest church in Korea, but it is the largest church in the world. She is literally bringing her staff. Staff is coming. And we need you. For you, deacons, Bishop is going to give you some instructions. I think we're getting ready to let you go. But for those that are deacons and folk like that, we're going to need you to put on your uniforms. We're going to need every usher to have on black and white. We're going to need every person that has any connection, any minister, every praise person, every worshiper. We need every person that's connected at all. Somewhere on the ground, the 8809 Schoolcraft, we need you. Amen. We're going to need you. We're going to need you. We're going to need to be looking at you. Amen. To have a person that's used to thousands and thousands and thousands of people, you need to be in place. They're not used to stuff being out of place. And she can be really thrown off. Amen. With coming into a place where people are not in place, there's no ushers, there's no, you know, we even need some men meeting her at the limousine. We need some brothers. We need you. We need some women standing. We need a couple of our women going to the airport with flowers. We need a couple of our women doing that, with maybe a couple of our girls doing that. I'm telling you, and I know that our girls are going through, they would be the ones that we would be using to meet her on Tuesday. But, you know, we need you. We just look at somebody around, look around and say, you remember, we need you. You need it. We need you. We need you, we love you, and we need you. We didn't tell our deacons, they don't play. This ain't the time to be hide-and-go-seek. Amen. Hide-and-go-seek ain't good for this week. This ain't a good hide-and-go-seek week. Amen. We need you. I'm telling you, we need you in place. We love you, but we need you. And when we need you, we need you. We're not playing. Amen. So we need every one of you. It's nothing but to look at you. We need you. All right. So, Bishop is probably on tomorrow. Would there be a meeting for something? Do we need some meetings? Hook up with your choice. Okay. Okay. Don't go. Because somebody said, you can't go. What I need right now. Oh, Lord. Something going on in the pool. Somebody just got hurt.
Don't you be careful now. Be careful.
need y'all to be careful. I just heard the Holy Ghost say, be careful how you entertain him.
Hallelujah.
How would you treat an angel if you knew it was an angel? That's stopped by your house. Be careful how you treat him. Be careful how you entertain him. How you bless him. Bless him properly. Get your offering in your hand, but I want you to treat him like it's the angel that came back, because we didn't invite him ourselves. The Holy Ghost invited him. And Lord, you do things that you want to do, and when you do things, we ought to get with you. We get in the cycle of God, and God will bless our lives. We've got to look at this another way. It's another way to look at it. He's somebody God wanna bless.
Oh.
If you feel like I do, I want you to stand up with your gift in your hand, like you know what you do. That you know you're entertaining somebody that God sent. My purse. My purse. But cheating like God said, cheating. He can look like to me. Girl, cheating like God said, cheating. Yeah. Today we are treating like God said treating. What y'all say? I think if we looked at it like there's scripture that say handle this and handle with care. Treating like God said treating. Let's come. I mean every person in the room that can be a blessing. Put something in your hand now. The rest of you are doing what you feel God has spoken to you. Some of you need instructions through and by way of God's vessel. Because you can't hear. So then hear this through God. God's vessel. Obey his voice. Put something in your hand that you know God is saying. And come. I want you to come and lay it at the altar. Right here. Right here. I feel altar time. I feel. If you could have put at least $21 in your hand, that would have been good. Bishop saying 30. If you had 20, add one to it. Add one to your 20. Okay, and one to your 20. Thank you. Bless you. Ooh, I love obedient people. There ain't nothing like working with obedient people. Ooh, there ain't nothing like working with people that love God. Okay, explain it. It's a whole different world to work with people that love God.
V-O-U. I got a new praise for you. Get up. Hey.
Somebody knows.